If you would, turn with me to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15, as we're continuing our study on the power of words. And if you missed last week's message or you want to just review it, again, it's on the website, bethelpgh.org, under the Listen tab. Click on the Power of Words series or any of the previous messages, and you can listen to those. They're available to you on our website. But we begin this journey on the power of words by getting a good starting point, a motivator to start to guard our mouths. Some of us, it's hard for us, right, to not speak or to not say the wrong things. And we got a good starting point there. And today we're going to add to that on how we can grow in that area. And it makes me think of my wife, who has this ability to just read my mind. And I don't know why I ever try to avoid letting her know my thoughts or my feelings on something, because she just always knows. She can just look at me and instantly know how I feel about something, what my thought is. She just knows. And so usually I don't try. Every once in a while I do try. Not that I try to hide stuff from her, but if I'm upset about something, I sometimes just don't want to. You ever like that? You just don't want to just let people know that you're upset. And she just knows. She just looks at me and she just knows. Part of that's because I'm a very readable person. Part of it's because she's very good at reading people, so it's kind of a bad combo for me. And it actually it's a good combo, because it gives a great, it adds to the intimacy in the relationship, because she just knows me in and out. Do you have anybody in your life that does that to you? Maybe a parent or a spouse, maybe a child that just, they just know you. They know exactly what you would think about something. They know exactly how you feel about something. Thank you, Joe. You're going to solve my problem, huh? there's people in our lives that could do that. That happens common in marriages for that to happen. It's common for parenting relationships. You know how sometimes mothers have eyes in their back of their head? It's because they can read things. Or have you ever said something to somebody, and as soon as it came out of your mouth, you weren't intending on revealing something? You didn't think your choice of words was going to reveal it, but when you saw the expression on the person's face, you realized they know exactly how you feel or exactly what you're thinking about that, and you're thinking, oh, I wish I could pull those words back, because now they know. And how did they figure that out by what I said? Have you ever had that before? I can't believe they figured that out. Or they respond with a question that reveals that they know what you're talking about. Like, oh, man. Because there's a revealing nature to our words. And many of us crave and desire to grow. We want to become better at certain things. We want to be better in our family life. We want to be better in certain character things. We have flaws and sin issues and struggles that we deal with and that we try to overcome, and we want to be better with those things. We don't want to be that person. You ever feel like that? I don't want to be that person, but I keep being that person. That's not who I want to be. Or we have in our mind what we would like to be, but we're never that person. We're struggling to make sure that we're the person we want to be. And that's like the Romans 7 passage that says, the things I don't want to do, I keep finding myself doing, and the things that I want to do, I don't do. And this internal struggle within us is we want to be that. None of us wants to be a nasty person. None of us wants to be a bad husband. Nobody wants to be falling apart. None of us want to be the rude jerk guy out there. None of us wants to be that. But we struggle to not be that person. And there's a secret that's going to be revealed to us in Matthew 18 and elsewhere that's going to help us know how to jump over that hurdle and begin to grow and begin to change and be transformed. And it's also related to our ability to impact others. Sometimes we wish that we could interact with people in a better way, or we wish we knew how to be kinder to that person that I really don't want to be nice to. Or I wish I knew how to say the right thing. And we see other people do it well, and I want to be that kind of person. There's a secret to get to that place where we can help other people grow and we can find growth in our own lives. And the secret is found beginning in Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18 will be the springboard before we get to Matthew 15. Proverbs 18, verse 4 says this, "The words of a man's mouth are deep waters." The words of a man's mouth are deep waters. You know what that means? When you talk, every word, even if you say it frivolously, even if you say it without thinking, every word that comes out of our mouth has a deep meaning to it. And the secrets to other people's hearts and how to minister to them and interact with them is found in the things that they are saying. And the secrets to your growth and to freedom and to overcoming hurdles in your life is found in the words that are coming out of your mouth. There's a secret to be found there, but what is that secret? You see, we can find growth, we can unlock growth potential for us and for others if we can know the right actions to take that Jesus is going to show us here this morning in Matthew 15. Look with me, if you will. Matthew 15 starts with an interaction with the Pharisees. Picking up at verse 1 says, Then Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat." He answered them, "And why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God commanded, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die." Verse 5. "But you say, 'If anyone tells his father or his mother, what you would have gained from me is given to God, he need not honor his father.' So for the sake of your tradition, you have made void the word of God." Verse 7. "You hypocrites! Well did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.'" Verse 10. "And he called the people to him and said to them, 'Hear and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth. This defiles a person.'" Verse 12, "Then the disciples came and said to him, 'Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?' He answered, 'Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. Let them alone. They are blind guides, and if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit.'" Verse 15, "But Peter said to him, 'Explain the parable to us.' And he said, 'Are you still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is expelled? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile anyone.'" There are some actions in there that are going to help us learn how to unlock this potential found in our words. Because we can grow if we can take these actions. The first action is this: pay attention. He says of the Pharisees, he says, verse 14, "They are blind guides, and if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit." We don't want to end up in that pit, right? Okay, so even though he's speaking of the negative action, we can learn the opposite, because what leads them into the pit is to be blind, to not see, to not understand or see something. And so the opposite would be we want to see. And what is it we want to see? Because the Pharisees can see with their physical eye. What was it they weren't seeing? And they were just interacting with Jesus, and they were saying, "Your guys don't do this thing, this righteous thing. They don't do that." And Jesus began to point out to them their inconsistencies, where they had a problem with people not doing this righteous thing, but they didn't care if people didn't do this thing. And Jesus was pointing out, because he learned it from what they were saying, because he had listened to their words. You know, Jesus had sat in a temple from the time of age 12 or so and was listening to them teach. He remembered the words and he paid attention. There are some people who, through paying attention to people's words, have become immaculate gift givers. They've become incredible at giving people gifts. Have you ever known someone like that, that just, they always find the right gift to give? I am not that person. I give gifts, and I remember one of my family members, when I first came to know Christ, They wanted to find me a good gift, so they just found a book that had the title God in it. Because, well, he'll like this. It says God. But some people are just a natural at giving gifts. Some people attract friends to them like crazy. They just know how to draw people in. They know how to retain friendships. They know how to cause people to like them because there's just something about what they're catching. Some people have become gifted at sharing their faith and persuading people to come into the kingdom of God or come to Christ or come to the church because they've paid attention. But what is it that we're paying attention to when people are talking? Well, that leads us to our second action, which is understand words. Verse 18 says, what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart. Did you know that every word that comes out of your mouth came from here? Does it matter if it surprised you when it came out? Does it matter if that's not the person you want to see yourself being? Every word that comes out of our mouth comes from the heart. That's why sarcasm is a dangerous tool, because, and I try hard not to ever use it, because there's always a subtle hint of truth in every sarcastic comment, because when you speak, it reveals what's in your heart. And all the people around us are always, that's why there's a secret in the words. Every time someone talks to you, they're showing you what's in their heart. That's why people who are detectives, they know how to find out if someone's guilty, because they're listening to the words that are being said. And the reason why those people who become good gift givers have become good gift givers, because when someone says, I really like this, they take note of that and they remember it. When someone says, oh, I would love to have something like that, they take note of it and they hear what they're saying because they know it's coming from their heart. And then when it comes time to give a gift, they know precisely what to give because they paid attention to the meaning behind the words. Or it's the same way with making friendships. What makes somebody else feel great could make someone else feel miserable. Have you ever had that before? Where I don't understand why someone enjoys watching a chick flick, right? I don't want to cry. That doesn't make me happy crying. It's not entertainment. But for other people, it's a good cry, which is contradictory to me, but I don't understand. But what makes one person happy makes another person miserable. And so you could be doing something that you think will make somebody happy, and you're making them miserable, and you're driving them nuts. And all along, they are telling you with their words. They might not be directly saying it, but they're telling you, I don't like this. This is the way I like to be treated. And they tell you when they say, so-and-so did this for me, and I love that they did that for me. They're telling you how to treat them. They might not be meaning to tell you how to treat them. Some people do that. Have you ever caught people do that before? You know, I really like when people give me money. Have you ever had that? Some people really try to manipulate the situation, but others, it's just when they're talking, they're telling you what they feel. And if I listen to that, I'm going to know how to treat each person. I'm going to know how to interact with them in such a way that's going to make them feel loved, that's going to make them open up to me so I can influence them to Christ, that I'm going to receive the benefit of a closer relationship with them because they're warm towards me, because I'm listening, I'm paying attention to the words. Same with witnessing. People have objections as to why they don't want to come to church, why they don't want to follow Christ, and you could be answering all the wrong questions because you're not listening to them. They might not have a problem with what you're trying to prove to them, and you're wasting your time. Listening to them also tells us what motivates them, what makes them decide, I want to do something, or you will hear the needs that they have, what's the problems in their life, and you'll know what to touch on if you're listening. You might be trying to touch on needs that they don't even have. But the reason why people become so effective at these things and working with people is not because they have some amazing skill, not because they have some great intellect, not because they're just extremely extroverted. Did you know you could be great with people and still be introverted? You don't have to be extroverted to be great with people. You know why? Sometimes extroverts are even better. Not to take sides with myself here. Introverts, I mean. But because they don't talk as much, they listen. That's why the Bible says, be slow to speak and quick to listen. Because so many times we don't know what to do with a person because we haven't listened. And you're thinking, well, they're not telling me. Yes, they are. They might not be telling you directly, but every time a word comes out of someone's mouth, it proceeds from the heart. And so we can begin to unlock the potential to help others grow and grow in the way we work with people if we pay attention, if we understand words, or if we read between the lines. Sometimes people tell you the opposite of what's really going on in there. Did you know that? Just like with that interaction with the Pharisees, they were saying, we honor God. We respect God. We want to do these righteous things. And your guys, they're not doing the righteous things. And Jesus read between the lines because he heard the I honor God words, but he still remembered the don't honor your father and your mother. Don't help them out. Give this in the offering. He heard those words and he read between the lines, and that's why he was able to say, Isaiah rightly prophesied of you that you honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. But how do I read between the lines? If I said to someone, you know what? I think Alma and Molly, they're really great ladies. I love being around them. And the person says back, yes, I really like Alma. She's leaving now. The church size has decreased. But you notice, I didn't say I don't like Molly. I didn't say that. With my literal words. Yes, everybody does. I picked on the wrong person, didn't I? Who should I pick on? If I say that, I'll get in more trouble. But Kathy's raising her hand, volunteering. Okay. If I said that about Kathy, but I didn't say directly with the exact words that I said that I don't like her, but with my words, I still said I don't like her. And so if we read between the lines, we can hear what a person, because sometimes we get so fixated on the words themselves, and we're not hearing the heart that's coming behind the words. The words are deep waters. Or if you notice that someone's not really getting into the meal you made them, and you say, what's the matter? Don't you like the dinner? And they say, well, I'm not saying that. Yes, they're not saying that, but they did say that. They don't like the words, the meal. Or if somebody, as you're telling them very passionately an opinion that you have about something, and you're just fired up about this opinion, and they just don't say anything, they just stare blankly and they don't respond to you at all, they're telling you they don't agree with you. They're not saying anything, but or either that they're skeptical of your opinion because they're not responsive, or they don't care, one of those. But their silence is still speaking to you, giving you secrets as to how to interact with them. And there is so much that gets missed that gives us potential to make a friend, that gives us potential to touch someone's life and help them, bring them to Christ, that gives us potential to grow in our ability to interact with people if we be slow to speak and quick to listen. Don't you want to grow? There's so much potential that could be unlocked if we are listening, understanding words, reading between the lines. And perhaps the most painful one is when we turn the attention on ourselves. And the fourth action is to admit reality that Jesus says in verses 11 and 19 through 20, what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a person. Out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defiles a person. And what I've come to grips with is when it comes out of my mouth, it's here. I might not like that person. I might say, well, I didn't mean that. And you really know if you meant it. And really, probably you meant it to some degree. And everything that comes out came from here. And I need to admit the reality that if I said it, there's something to that. And it might have flown out of my mouth in a moment of frustration. in a moment of irritation. Don't you hate that? That sometimes more things come out of our mouth when we get frustrated and irritated. And we try to convince ourselves that that meant nothing. But it also meant something to us. We actually feel that, maybe not to that degree, maybe not to that severity, but when we said we don't like that person, when we said we don't want to do that anymore, we meant it. And it's better to come to terms with that and admit the reality that that's in there. Because Jesus says what comes out of the mouth, that defiles the person, not because the words themselves are significant, but it's because there is a meaning behind all the words that you say. If you begin to pay attention to what you're saying, not only do we need to listen to what other people are saying, but listen to what we're saying, you're going to find out the things that you're struggling with. You're going to find out why you're struggling with that, because you're going to find out how you feel about that thing. You're going to find, you can find this stuff out when you're praying. I don't know if you've ever had this before, but I've had a number of times, once I've learned this to pay attention to my words, there's been a number of times I've been praying to God, I've been irritated about something, irritated at somebody, and as I'm talking, all of a sudden I say something and I realize, oh, that's why I'm like that. And you want to really quickly justify yourself and say, well, no, it's not that big a deal, and everybody else is like that anyway, and besides, they deserve it, and it doesn't really happen all the time, and I don't, that thing, that's not really there. It's not there. I'm just going to pretend it's not. And you will never tackle that thing if you don't say, that's the reality. That's who I am. That's what I do, and that's why I do it, and now I'm going to deal with that thing. That's why Jesus said that if you hate in your heart, you murder. If you lust in your heart, you commit adultery. If you covet in your heart, you steal. Because the driving force behind every sin and every evil action is in here. And if I can tackle this, then I can begin to overcome all those other things. But I have to listen to the words that are being spoken. And so we can unlock growth potential if we pay attention, if we understand words, read between the lines, admit reality, and lastly, get planted. Verse 13, when they were offering to Jesus that the Pharisees were offended at his words, he said this statement to them in verse 13, every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. What is he saying there? Just like he said of the Pharisees that they are blind, that's why they're going into a pit. The reason why these Pharisees are not where they're supposed to be is because they haven't been planted by the Father. Now that sounds very similar to what Jesus would teach on in John 15 when he said, I am the vine and you are the branches. Abide in me and in my love. And you will have life, and you will do all of these things. If you obey me, you will abide in me, and you will love me, and you will be made capable of these things. If I'm planted, and he says his Father is the one that comes along and cultivates the vine and prunes and does all the working. If I'm planted, then I have this ability. And so you can do all the paying attention to the words and listening to what people are saying and all that stuff, and if you're not planted in the Father, you just become a skillful detective. That's all. You just become someone who reads minds. Did you know that that's probably 90% of fortune tellers, really that's all they're doing is reading people's body language and words. You know, there's no voice telling them something. They're just listening. And if you listen, you can almost read people's minds, but it's worthless. It's nonsense to have all that ability and not be planted in the Father. And how do I get there? I get there by having that close interaction with him, by being a worshiper of God, by seeking him in my prayer life, by studying the word, by being connected to the body of Christ, all of that stuff. And if we struggle with not being that person, we struggle with overcoming this flaw and this issue, it has to start by being planted in the vine. And then from there, I go out and I start listening and paying attention to words. There is growth available to you if we can just begin to take action. Will you stand with me? Worship team, will you come and prepare to lead us? There is so much growth available to you if we just listen. The scriptures say that some plant and some water, but it is God who causes the increase. And that's true. The only way we can grow as individuals, we can grow as a group, is through the work of the Holy Spirit. But the Bible also says that they will never hear unless there is a preacher. How can they hear the message if no one's preaching the gospel? And sometimes we think that we're just going to pick up all this stuff through osmosis. That if I sleep on my Bible at night, all of a sudden I'll become this, like I'll absorb all of this in me. That if I just show up at church, that all of a sudden I'll just arrive at maturity. And that's part of it. But there's still stuff that you need to do. Because the Holy Spirit could do all this stuff, but if I'm not responding, there will be no growth. I must do the things that He's calling me to do. That's why Paul says in Philippians to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. It's 90 God in that it's impossible to please God without being born again, without having the work of the Spirit in your lives. But if you don't ever step out, it'll never happen. And so God is calling you into growth, maturity. God's calling you to a place where He can break those chains and give you freedom from those faults and those flaws that have been hindering you so often. God is wanting to plant you by the Father, to plant you in a place of stability, plant you in a place of effectiveness, plant you in a place where your relationships are as they should be, plant you in a place that you can make a difference in other people's lives. But the question is, will you let Him do that work in you? And so in a moment, I'm going to ask you to come if you want to respond to the Lord and let Him do a work in your heart to plant you. Let Him do a work in your heart to open your eyes so that you are no longer blind, but you can see what's going on in people's hearts and in their spirits. That He would do a work in your heart, that He would help you to come to terms with the reality of who you are. Not only confessing to God, but confessing to yourself, I have this struggle. And begin the victory from that confession. So as they lead us, if you would, come and let Him do a work. Yes, thank you, Lord. You know, those broken pieces, that's us.
Praise Almighty God.
Broken, flawed, messed up. But we're messed up in the hands of God, who is the potter that's shaping us and molding us to be freed from that, to no longer be that broken piece, but to be made whole. And I wonder how many of us have fractured relationships. How many of us have an inability to speak into someone's life because we weren't listening? We're always doing the talking. Myself included, all of us are included in this. But don't you want to see so much more? God's doing a work in our lives. God's doing a work in this church, and we're seeing people grow in their faith. We're seeing more people come be a part of what God's doing here. And I want to see more of that. Don't you want to see more of that? Don't you want to be making a difference? Don't you want to see whole marriages, loving marriages? Don't you want to see whole households? Don't you want to see a community that's made whole again? It's connected to this thing. That's why James says if we can control this thing, we can control the whole ship. That's why when the Holy Spirit fills us, it comes out in the gift of speaking in tongues. Because the mouth reveals the heart. And so may it be that we grow, and may it be that we begin to see our potential. Not because we're something special, but we're only something that has potential if we are in the hands of God and walking in step with the Holy Spirit. And there's so much to be had for us. If we listen, there's secrets in what everybody is saying around us. There's answers in your own words. If we just listen, there's answers to the things that we're longing to have answers for. So I want to encourage you, tonight is another opportunity to just simply reflect.